And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. It's coming up to 10:30. And I should be joined on the line now by Sarah Brown. Good morning to you, Sarah.
Good morning, Debbie.
How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Great. Now, Sarah, this morning, you're a dietitian, but we're going to talk a little bit about nutrition and school lunches. So tell us a little bit, I suppose for people who are listening today, dietitian, nutrition, like nutritionists, what is the difference?
Between a dietitian and a nutritionist?
Yeah.
So dietitians are, you know, they're trained sort of in college at an undergraduate level to deal with clinical nutrition issues. So they would have a lot of practical experience of dealing with the management and treatment of conditions with diet, and have a lot of experience doing that. And they are state registered. So I would be a state registered dietitian where I can prove that I have the relevant qualifications and keep up to date with all the science relating to nutrition and dietetics in my field. It's a protected title in Ireland, dietitian, which nutritionist is not. So there are many nutritionists who have a degree in nutrition, but there are also many people who wouldn't have this qualification and refer to themselves as nutritionists.
Okay, and if people are listening this morning, Sarah, and they know their diet isn't great, they know they're not eating the proper foods, but they don't really know how to go about kind of, I suppose, have that plan of what they should be eating. So if they make an appointment, can people just make an appointment with a dietitian, or do you have to be referred by a doctor?
You can do both. So you can go to your doctor and see if that service is available within their practice, particularly if you have a specific medical condition, that service may be available within your own practice. You can also refer yourself to a dietitian, and one of the best ways to find a dietitian is to go online to the INDI website, so it's indi.ie, and it's the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute, and it would represent almost all of the dietitians in Ireland, and you can find a private practice dietitian on that site as well.
Yeah, it seems to be the way to go. I know a lot of us, when we're trying to lose weight, we go slimming clubs and stuff like that. But in the past couple of months, I've heard more and more about going to dietitians, not going on diets, but just, I suppose, learning yourself and educating yourself on what foods you should be eating and losing weight through this. Because I suppose a lot of us don't know really what we're putting into our bodies.
Well, the science on weight loss, for example, is that diets don't work. Ultimately, of course, many of them work in the short term. So you might lose weight in the first few months, maybe up to a year. If that weight loss is very dramatic, so if it's lost very quickly, the chances of it going back on are really, really high. And that's what the science is saying. Mm. So learning healthy habits and losing weight gradually is actually the thing that works. But obviously, it's the magic sort of one that we're all looking for when it comes to weight loss, but actually slow and steady is what really works in the long term.
Okay, then I suppose it is educating yourself what you should be eating, what you should be putting into your body, and just probably, I suppose, eating less, exercising more.
I mean, that's definitely the basics. We eat less and exercise more, but very often with people's eating habits, it's emotions, it's lifestyle, it's our routines, you know, and changing those behaviours is the real challenge. Mm. And very often dietitians are really well trained on behaviour change techniques, and that's one of the other reasons to visit a dietitian. It's not just simple handout advice. They'll also help you with those ingrained habits and behaviours that you've developed over the years.
Great. We'll have to talk about that another time, Sarah, as well, like on another programme, because there's so much of that to go into. But on this morning's programme, we're kind of focusing more on children going back to school and healthy lunches and snacks for in their lunchbox. And we know a lot of children are back in school already, and some are going back on Thursday. And it's the usual, I suppose, a lot of parents out there listening today will feel the way I do. I mean, I had four children, they're grown up now, apart from one is still in school. But like that, trying to find different things to give your children to eat that are healthy. So why are healthy lunches and snacks so important at school?
So I guess school can be a long day for many children, particularly when, you know, parents are getting out of the house early in the morning as well. And sometimes, you know, maybe if breakfast wasn't as good as it could be, you know, children can be very hungry, and it can be a longer day than it used to be. So it's really important for their concentration that they have a steady supply of energy, that they're very well hydrated, and they're not consuming excessive amounts of sugar during the day, so that their energy levels can stay sort of steady.
Okay, so as I said, the kids are starting back this week. What would you suggest as a healthy lunch for the children going back?
A good basis for any lunch is to have different types, you know, the different food groups within the lunch box, and whatever form that takes. So children tend to not get, you know, enough fibre, so replacing sort of your carbohydrate type foods with fibre rich ones. So whole grain breads, pita breads are a really good one, whole grain pita breads, even just whole grain crackers or breadsticks can be really good for children, wholemeal bagels. So something of a basis like that, and then some kind of protein food. So try and steer clear, particularly in secondary schools, there's a lot of availability both in school and in the environment close to school of things like processed meats, you know, breaded chicken, sausages, bacon. So it's best in the lunchbox to steer clear of those types of foods and have lean meats like chicken and turkey and even fish if children will bring that to school, eggs and cheese and if the school allows it, things like peanut butter or other nut butters, and that's your protein foods. And then some kind of fruit or vegetables. So some kids love to have things like raw carrots and raw vegetables. Others, you know, like small pieces of fruit or even fruit chopped up in separate little lunch, you know, separate little containers within the lunchbox. And then, of course, fluid is really, really important. So milk or water, preferably, would be the ideal.
And what, Sarah, I am... What if you have a child? I have a very fussy eater. She's a vegetarian now the past 4 years. It's very hard to kind of think outside the certain things she eats. It's like she just will eat the one thing. So how can you introduce, I suppose, new ideas, new foods to children who are just set on wanting the same things every day?
Mm-mm. This starts very early in life, but if you have an older child who sort of has a very monotonous diet and you're concerned that they're not getting enough, you know, getting them involved more in maybe the shopping for the lunchbox or the prep can be really useful, and but with restrictions within that, so you can have, you know, that you're looking at some kind of fruit and they can choose what that can be, the same type of carbohydrate that they have, the type of bread or whatever it is. Some children don't like sandwiches, but maybe they would eat a pasta salad or, you know, cold pasta with some cheese mixed into it, or maybe they would have like leftover rice with some kind of meat mixed through it, something like that. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a traditional lunchbox. One of the things that we did I'm a researcher in Dublin City University, and we've done extensive research with schools. One of the things to sort of highlight the research that we did was create videos of healthy school lunches. They're on a YouTube channel on the DCU website. I'm not sure exactly how you'd access them, but you can find them there. And it just goes through five different types of lunches and how different that they can be. And there's some ideas there for people if they want to have a look at that.
Okay. And I suppose you did mention like secondary schools, and sometimes it is on offer that they can get wedges and chicken. And, you know, I think we should be more, I know a lot in the primary schools have kind of introduced over the years healthy lunches, and it is good to start children at a young age, introduce them to healthy lunches. But as they get into secondary school, then you kind of can't keep, you know, an eye on them as much as you did in primary school. So it's probably up to the schools as well to make sure that they kind of provide healthy lunches as well if they have a canteen.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I would definitely advocate for, having done a lot of research in secondary schools, is that the school environment is almost as important as an education forum as the books about healthy eating, or the, you know, the text and sort of theory of healthy eating, because that's what students see every day and what's available to them. And if the school is selling you know, soft drinks, muffins, chocolate bars and chicken fillet rolls as standard, that's part of, you know, they think that's okay, you know, that the school is sort of promoting that kind of food. So I think it would be really important that school environments are incredibly they match what, you know, what healthy eating guidelines are saying. Schools need support in this, you know, at a national level, I think, with guidelines and policy from the government and Department of Health and Education, so that they know exactly, you know, what would be the ideal things to have there in the school, and what other, you know, what maybe examples from schools that are already doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you mentioned a lot of fruit, veg, rice, and you know, healthy options that your child can bring for lunch. Maybe people out there are saying, oh, seems to be a lot of effort and time, and what if I go through all this and it costs a lot more money as well, they're saying, to probably eat healthy here in Ireland. Is it not just easier to give a sandwich, you know, and something else instead? But we have to kind of start thinking outside the sandwich as well, and as I said, introduce more veg.
Well, yeah, and not that you have to, but some people, families would say that, you know, tell me that their children never eat the sandwich and they leave it and bring it home. I would often advise people, look, if you're having rice the night before for dinner, cook a little bit extra. You know, somebody in the family might take that for their lunch the following day, and the same with pasta. So it doesn't create an extra workload, you know, for whoever is making the lunches. But also, there's some really good advice there out there on healthy eating on a budget. Safe Food do some brilliant resources for healthy lunches as well, and they have information available online. So I think there's a lot more opportunity to eat healthily, you know, without spending a lot of money. It doesn't have to be sort of certain types of foods, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The expensive types of healthy foods, like good, decent fruit and vegetables, you know, and fibre-containing carbohydrates and lean proteins. That's really the basics of healthy eating for young people, and also foods high in calcium, because during those childhood years, children are really developing their bones in an important way that will never happen again. So they need very, you know, good sources of calcium in their diet through things like yogurts and cheese and milk.
So if we can just even introduce little by little, and as we know, we do have a problem here with child obesity in Ireland, and I suppose, you know, you have to get it at a young age, you have to introduce healthy foods at a young age and get children used to eating this type of food, and as I said, for their lunchbox, you know, at least you know you've tried to give them a good start, and hopefully they'll eat what you give them. But we really need to kind of, I suppose, tackle. Have you noticed that yourself, that there has been a rise in child obesity?
Yeah, so our childhood obesity rates are, you know, relatively high, and it has been a cause for concern. And there's a lot of priority now put on preventing child, you know, excessive weight gain in childhood. We seem to have sort of plateaued off, so we're somewhere between 20 to 25% of our children being overweight and obese. It doesn't seem to be rising, but it's not necessarily dramatically decreasing either. And schools have been highlighted as one of the really important places to promote healthy habits among children, so that those, you know, so that schools are showing good example and providing healthy opportunities for children to be active as well as eat well. Mm. So activity obviously is the other really important part of that for childhood. And with a lot of people would talk about treat foods as well with children and find it difficult maybe not to give their children treat foods every day, but that would be considered maybe too often for children to have maybe high fat or high sugar foods. So treat food should be considered something, you know, that happens less often, you know, maybe once or twice a week.
Okay, Sarah, just before I let you go then, for people who are listening and their children are starting back in school and they're going out to do the shopping for the week, what food should they have, I suppose, on hand for preparing healthy lunches in the fridge that they can just do quickly?
So one of the lunches that we did on those on the videos that I was telling you about was like a really quick one that you throw together. So it's a packet of whole grain crackers or a packet of oat crackers. You know, they come in individually wrapped crackers, a couple of cubes of cheese, a bunch of grapes, a couple of nuts and a yogurt. You know, so you just put everything together. You don't have to make anything. It's not assembly. It's literally just putting it into the lunchbox. Then other ones, I would always say to people, have a couple of things in the freezer in case you run out during the week. So wholemeal pita breads are brilliant, the little round ones. And children tend to like those, or just a loaf of bread or a packet of wholemeal bagels, something like that in the freezer that you can take out the night before. Tins of things are really useful, so tins of fish. I know a lot of children don't like doing that, but if they don't mind, small tins of salmon or tins of tuna are very good. Always having cheese and yogurts in the fridge for children to bring with them as something to add to the lunchbox, and then small pieces of fruit. So a lot of the time children don't like to bring big apples or big oranges, but they will bring a small plum or a small apple or a little mandarin. Those sorts of things are really handy to have. and so mixing a few sort of, and maybe keeping leftover meats. So if you're going to roast a chicken, keep it for a couple of days. Same with things like roast beef. Like, those are all very, very healthy, good, nutritious foods for children.
Great. Okay, listen, Sarah, thanks a million for talking to us this morning, giving us that idea, the ideas, I suppose, for people who are wondering, what am I going to go through another year of this sandwich has been brought home, not eaten. And there has been some good points that you've said, like that, it did the homemade crackers and grapes, and that's a great idea. I'll do that myself now for my daughter. And I suppose it's just getting used to doing, as you said, if you make a little bit more the night before, and then they can bring it in their lunchbox. Rice or pasta. So thanks a million for talking to us today on Lifeline.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Sarah. Bye-bye.